Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 4. Devotion Beyond Comprehension, where we look at the lives of the blessed companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we learn how they sacrificed everything at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last week, you will remember, we heard some beautiful, heartwarming stories of how the companions, for them, everything evolved around the beautiful face of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, we're going to continue on this beautiful journey. Let me start with a blessing of Durood-e Pak. Hazrat Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala comes to the court of the Blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after my farais, I dedicate a certain proportion of my time to the zikr of Allah azza wa jal, to Durood-e Pak upon you and upon wazaifs. Now, how much time should I dedicate for Durood-e Pak? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as much as you desire. So he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if I dedicate one quarter? Aka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is good, but if you dedicate more, it is better for you. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if I dedicate half of my time to sending durood or salam upon you? And Aka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is good, but if you dedicate more, it will be better for you. He then says, Ya Rasulullah, three quarters. And again, the same reply. Then, finally, he says this. If I give up all the other wazaif and devote all of my time to reciting Durood-e Pak upon you, at this, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, this will be sufficient to remove your worries. Subhanallah. So he's dedicating his entire spare time, his entire oradu wazaif, in sending durood as salam upon the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the last and final messenger. And Aka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam certifies this by saying that if you do this, it will remove all of your worries. Now, the greatest thing in this world is worries. We have a lot of concerns, people have depression. The cure for your worries, anxiety, and depression is durood-e pak upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we've been trying to find some really good kalams for you. And again, with golden oldies, as I call them. And alhamdulillah, this week, the Madni Channel team have found a beautiful kalam for you by one of my favorite Naat Khan. I think everybody in the world loves this person. An amazing, amazing Naat Khan and a Muballigh in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, serving the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's listen to this beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Su'e taiba jane waalo mujhe chhod kar na jaana meri aankh ko dikha do meri aankh ko I'm
Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam that was. Alhamdulillah, Haji Mushtaq Attari, rahmatullah alayhi. And this was, I was just lost in the kalam then, because it's one of my favorite Naat Khans and one of my favorite kalams. And you know, any time that anybody's departing to Madinatul Munawwara, these are the things that come to your heart. Those of you who have been blessed to head towards the land of the beloved Habib, that beautiful piece of land that is called the center of the universe, Madinatul Munawwara, please don't leave me behind, subhanAllah. And the heart cries for that peace and that beautiful, you know, city of Madinatul Munawwara. Again, what a beautiful kalam. And you know, when you listen to it, and you listen to it with that love of Medina in your heart, and you listen to the dard, the kind of pain of love in Haji Saab's voice, honestly, it's just mesmerizing. May Allah Azza wa Jal show us all Madinatul Munawwara time and time again. We're going to move to our first segment. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew.
So we're talking about how the companions would honor and respect the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this wasn't just, I mean, their devotion was amazing. And their love for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was beyond comprehension. And I said before that, you know, all the prophets had disciples, had companions. But the love that the companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had and showed for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was incomparable. Now, where did this come from? The starting point. You see, when you have a king, a kingdom, an entourage, then certain laws and certain etiquettes are decreed. So you can speak in the court of the king in a certain way. You have to pass by certain protocols to get to certain situations. You need to behave in this way. And you go to different countries. Different kings have their own protocol. They set them, their wise men or other people set them. And they say, these should be the etiquettes of the courts, whoever attends the court of the king. And the kings will have, you know, their honor and their respect and their dignity protected by these etiquettes and these rules. So that, you know, if somebody was to come into the court of the king and talk loudly, for example, that wouldn't be allowed. If somebody came and shouted at the king by his name, that wouldn't be allowed. If somebody came and misbehaved or did something else, that wouldn't be allowed. These are all against the etiquettes. But the important thing to understand is, who sets these etiquettes? Well, it's the king himself, his family. Maybe over generations, this is gradually built up to become the etiquette of that court, that king's, you know, his area. So this is important to understand. When it came to the beloved Habib of Allah Azza wa Jal, where did the companions get their rules from? The basic rules of how to behave in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Well, they didn't come in the traditional sense, because when it came to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to show the world that this is no ordinary court. And so I, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is the one who is going to set the rules for the court of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so much so that those rules, when you have a worldly king, once he passes away, the etiquettes and the decrees and everything else he's done, they fall by the wayside. But Allah Azza wa Jal laid these rules down and laid them down till the day of judgment. And today we're going to talk about this, because the noble companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam showed the world what the basic etiquettes were of this amazing court, and they were better than any other court on the surface of the earth that ever been and ever will be. But not only that, when Allah Azza wa Jal commanded them, they showed the world how to act upon the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this was love that the world had never seen. So when it came to, for example, there was a time where it was Eid al-Adha. And on Eid al-Adha, what do? We give sacrifice. And when you give a sacrifice, you slaughter for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And, you know, if somebody slaughters their lamb in the proper way, for the raza, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is fine. But when it came to the court of the companions and the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that wasn't. What happened? A group of noble companions, they sacrificed their animals before Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, obviously there wasn't communication at that time with telephones and everything else, and there was no etiquette, there was no rule that you couldn't, you know, sacrifice your animal before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's another riwayat where he says that some companions started their fast one day before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, that is worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's following the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And bizarre, you know, on the face of it, there's nothing wrong with that. They weren't rebelling or anything. All they'd done is just gone first. But Allah Azza wa Jal did not like that. And Allah Azza wa Jal reveals the glorious ayats of the amazing Quran and says, O believers, do not exceed Allah and His Messenger and fear Allah. Surely Allah is all hearing and all knowing. Now, what the scholars write here is very interesting. Allah Azza wa Jal isn't sacrificing goats or camels. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't take part in fasting, na'uzubillah. These are worships for the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the creator. So how can, by slaughtering your lamb or your goat before Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be exceeding Allah's will? The ayat says very clearly, O believers, do not exceed Allah and His Messenger. And what the scholars write here is this, that by exceeding, by going before, by preceding Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth, says, if you exceed and go precede my best of creation, my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how dare you? How dare you? That is like going before me. You should never do that. And this is why the companions learned this amazing lesson, that no matter what it was, they would never, never go before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just in case that was considered disrespect in the amazing court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the scholars write that they wouldn't even walk in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unless it was at the time of battles where they were there to protect the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're going to come to that. We have some amazing companions. You know, when you're with somebody and you see arrows coming or spears coming, your natural instinct is to get out of the way. But these companions, Allahu Akbar, they were throwing themselves in the way of these to protect Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we're going to come back to that. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions, Allah Azza wa Jal has said this, they wouldn't even eat their food before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started their food. Subhanallah. And these were the companions who were, you know, addressed. Then we talked about the etiquettes of the courts of the kings. Now, one of the etiquettes is how to speak. So when you go to the court of a king, you need to know how to speak. Now, when it came to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal tells the companions and tells the world that whatever you do outside, however you speak, even when you're talking to friends, you sometimes raise your voice. Even, and you shouldn't do, but even when you're talking to your parents, sometimes you may raise your voice, not in an anger, but just when you're talking out of jest or other things. But Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth, says in the glorious Quran this, O believers, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet, and do not speak aloud in his presence, as you speak aloud amongst each other, lest your deeds become in vain whilst you are unaware. Now this, the scholars write, it's a very serious ayah mubarakah. Because what Allah Azza wa Jal firstly says is, this is the etiquette of the court of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're not even to raise your voice. But then the last bit, they say, how serious is this command? You know, how important is it? And the scholars write that if you read the last part of the ayah mubarakah, it says, lest your deeds become in vain. That if you raise your voice in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will lose your deeds. Everything you've done, your hajj, your umrah, your zakat, your namaz, everything vanishes. Everything is destroyed. And what the scholars write is it's even worse than that. The reason it's worse than that is the last part of the ayat says, whilst you are unaware. So you don't even know that your deeds have been destroyed. You will think, I've got all these deeds, I've got my hajj and everything else. But just by raising your voice, not even through anger, not even through anything else, but just by raising your voice in the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you lose all your deeds and you won't even know about it. And there's one other subtle point that the scholars make here. And they say that because raising your voice is considered to be disrespect, no matter what intention you do it with, therefore Allah Azza wa Jal says that the one who in the court of my beloved Habib shows even the smallest amount of disrespect, I will destroy his deeds. And the reason that this part about whilst you remain unaware of it is there, that he will never know until the day of judgment. He'll turn up on the day of judgment and he'll think, I've got hajj, I've got salah, I've got Quran, I've got everything that I've been doing in my life. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, no, you haven't, because you raised your voice in the court of my beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that destroyed everything. So they said this commandment by Allah Azza wa Jal is so serious that it shows the world that in this court, you need to be 110% cautious to make sure that you don't do anything that is considered in any way, shape or form to be disrespectful. Now, this ayah mubarakah comes down and the companions, they think, oh, how do we behave? What do we do? Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and the other blessed companions, they start talking in really low voices. And the scholars write that they often had to repeat themselves to each other. Even when they're talking to each other, they wouldn't raise their voices. And what can you say about Ashiq Sadiq, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala? When this ayah mubarakah came down, Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala didn't talk loudly at all. he would whisper in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even if he was addressing the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, isn't he? So he would whisper, and he wouldn't even talk in a loud, in a medium voice or any voice. He would just use whispers, and this is how he'd do it. But there was one particular companion whose story was brilliant. He, Hazrat Sayyidina Sabit bin Qais, he was naturally loud voiced. He had a strong, powerful voice. And he used to come to the court of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they used to talk, but his voice was very dominant. So it was like as if he was loud, and sometimes it was considered like he was shouting, but he wasn't. That was the nature of his voice. This ayah comes down. The companions find out about it. He finds out about it. And he thinks, I've got the loudest voice. This ayah mubarakah has come for me. This is reprimanding me. And he isolates himself and locks himself in his house. A day goes by, 2 days go by. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquires, Hazrat Sayyidina Sa'ad, he says, oh Sa'ad, where is Sabit? And so Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala goes to the house of Hazrat Sabit radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, where are you? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking about you. And he says, I have become the dweller of hellfire. I'm destined for hell. Why? Because my voice used to be the loudest in the court of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything is destroyed. I don't know what to do or where to go. I've locked myself at home. Hazrat Sa'ad goes back to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says that this is what Sabit is saying. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him the glad tidings of paradise and say to him, no, this ayat mubarakah isn't for you. You are a dweller of paradise. And obviously when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given him the guarantee of paradise, could you imagine the happiness on his face? But this was the reaction of the companions. The rule, the law, the commandment itself was amazing and showed the etiquettes and the behavior that Allah Azza wa Jal expected from the companions in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then the companions, look at their devotion. I mean, I have to say it's beyond comprehension where they don't even talk. They whisper in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of them goes and locks himself in a room thinking my voice is the loudest. So I must be the reason for this ayah mubarakah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, you're not. No, you're not. And many of the companions, after this, they lowered their voices, and some of them would just remain silent in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the glorious Quran, undoubtedly, those who lower their voices in the presence of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. For them is forgiveness and a great reward. So this is the glorious Quran testifying to the great status of the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, I've given you the etiquettes of this court, but you've shown the world how to act in the court of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this was the amazing companions. This was the amazing devotion they had in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak, the companions would lower their heads, and it was as if birds came and sat on it. It was like a still statue, and birds could come and sit on their heads, and their heads wouldn't move. This was how obedient they were in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there were certain people. There was a tribe from Banu Tamim. And they came to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were in their house, Mubarak. They were resting. So these people, obviously not knowing the etiquettes of the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came outside the door and they did something that changed the whole system. They stood there and they said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Muhammad. They called out to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed them still, because Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy to the universe. He wasn't going to say, how dare you speak like this, and how dare you shout at the back of my or the front of my house, and how dare you? No, Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the distributor of mercy. So he gave them mercy, he listened to them. But Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the supreme,
reprimanded them. How dare you come outside the house of my beloved and then call out for him to come out? You're disturbing him. How, Ya Allah Azawajal, what do we do? Just come and wait there. My Habib, I have given knowledge of the unseen. You just come and wait outside. He knows that you need help and he will come out and help you. You don't need to shout him. And subhanAllah, Allah Azawajal teaching the companions how to behave in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam has beautiful titles. Call him by those beautiful titles. You're not worthy to call out his blessed name. And so after this, the companions recognize the grandeur of this amazing court, and they would address Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their blessed titles. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would distribute the mercy. Oh, merciful one. Oh, Muzzammil, Oh, Muddathir. All these beautiful titles that the glorious Quran and Allah had given the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how the companions were taught to speak and to gain the attention of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Can you imagine that Allah is teaching every step of the way, and the companions are taking these ayah mubarakas and showing the world how to interpret these by giving maximum honor and respect in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know what? It didn't stop there. A companion, Hazrat Abu Sa'id, he's praying salah and he's busy praying salah, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call him. He doesn't come. He carries on with his salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then completes his salah and presents himself in the court of the best of creation and says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, you called me, but I was in salah. And you know what Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He said, have you not heard the command of Allah azza wa jal? O believers, respond to the call of Allah and the messenger when the messenger calls you for a thing that will give you life. So my Habib is calling you to give you life, give you guidance, give you the mercy, give you everything. And so if you are in salah, that doesn't matter. Stop where you are. Come to the court of my beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do whatever he wants you to. Be obedient in his court. Fulfill his commandments. And then come back and start your salah, the scholars say, exactly where you left off. You don't need to repeat it. You can just continue from where you were and finish off your salah. Because this is what Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded you. When you're in the court of my beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is the way to behave. And it is incumbent upon every believer that he sacrifices everything at the feet of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now, Hazrat Abu Sa'id, what was he doing? He was praying salah. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, you're praying salah, you're praying to me, you're praying humbly, you're praying sincerely. But if my Habib calls you, you stop and go and deal with whatever my Habib says. Is that not amazing? Is that not devotion? Is that not love beyond our comprehension? Subhanallah. And you know, these ayah mubarakas, time after time, show us that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's court, the scholars say, is the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is where you gain access to the amazing grand court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You come to the feet of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take you to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. And these verses show that although all the prophets had utmost respect and honor, when it came to the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran gave you the etiquettes of their courts. The Quran told you how to behave. The Quran even told you how to address the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, how many times in the glorious Quran is the name of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam mentioned, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam mentioned, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned, without titles? But when it came to the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the titles and the great majesty of this court is shown in the glorious Quran by the creator of the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. This is where this ayah mubarakah shows that this is a court where you need to go with devotion and admiration. This is a court that you need to recognize is the greatest. This is the court of the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. In this court, your heart, mind and soul need to be focused. This is why the scholars say, and the great pious predecessors said, in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't even breathe loudly, because the etiquettes of this court are amazing. This is a special court. And you know, these rulings, they don't just apply at the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's physical presence in this world. They apply after Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put a veil between themselves and this world. And there was a famous waqia where there was a king, and he was in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is after Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had put a veil between themselves and this world. And Hazrat Imam Malik rahmatullahi was there. And he was speaking loudly, and he said, how dare you speak loudly in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he immediately repented. And he said, I shouldn't be speaking loudly in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He recognized and acknowledged. And Hazrat Imam Malik was telling us that it doesn't matter whether Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is physically present or has put a veil between themselves and this world. The etiquettes of the court remain the same, because as Allah Hazrat says, tu zinda hai wallah, tu zinda hai wallah, mere chashme alam se chup jane wale. Ya Rasulullah sallam, there can be no doubt. You are alive. You are alive. It's just that I don't have the eyes to see you. And there are pious friends of Allah Azza wa Jal who have, after Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put a veil between themselves and this world, they've seen Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not in a dream, but in the wakeful state. Ala Hazrat has seen Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a wakeful state. Many, many great pious valis of Allah Azza wa Jal have seen Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the state of waking. And how did they get that honor? How did they get that privilege? Yes, love, honor, respect, and devotion in this amazing court. And then what you have is devotion beyond comprehension. This is a world that is different. It is a beautiful garden. Once you start to walk down this garden of the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you look at the fruits that the Sahaba Ikram picked off, you will see that this is why their lives were mesmerizing. And this is why 1460 years later, we're sat here talking about these amazing people, because they sacrificed everything for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, Allah Azza wa Jal states, the Prophet is more worthy of the believers even more than themselves. And the scholars write that you should love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than yourself. And then the master of all creations, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, and none of you can be a complete believer until I am more beloved to him than his father, his son, his children, and all human beings and all people. And this is what the companion showed us. Nothing mattered to them. You know, when they came up in battles against their own fathers or against their own sons, and they were protecting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't flinch one iota, because they knew where their loyalties lay. And this was their amazing love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their hearts were shining beacons, and their life evolved around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know that the famous saying, the blessed hadith of Mubarakah, the one who loves something, he excessively mentions it. Their lives totally evolved around the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they always talked about their beloved Habib. So when they were sat together, they were talking about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they were alone, they were sending through the salam upon the blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as soon as they felt lonely or felt depressed, they went straight back to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one look at that beautiful face, it was the love. And it took away all their sorrows. It took away everything. Their life was lost in the remembrance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now just pausing there for a second, ask yourself this question. How often do I remember my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day? How much durud salam do I send upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day? How much do I listen to bayans and stories about the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much do I follow the teachings of Islam? How much time do I spend learning about the beautiful life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much time do I spend thinking about Madinatul Munawwara every day? Because for them, everything was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Medina. For us, the more we turn towards that, the more you will find peace and tranquility in your heart. The remembrance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a delightful garden of fruit. And once you start to walk down it, and you start to taste this fruit of the remembrance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durud as-salam upon the beloved, It's a garden that nobody's ever turned back from. Once they've gone down, walked down this into this, they've dedicated their entire lives in the love of Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is why the scholars write that what the companions did was just that next level of devotion. And the reason it was because Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's, the court of Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the etiquettes were taught by Allah Azza wa Jal and none other. This is why you couldn't raise your voice, you couldn't talk in a normal way, you couldn't call the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal like you called each other, and many, many more etiquettes of this amazing court were given by Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, this amazing, amazing court was so special that, you know, Hazrat Imam Malik, I mentioned earlier, taught us a lot of etiquettes, that these etiquettes weren't just reserved for the time that Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, but they continued afterwards. And even today, when you go to Madinatul Munawwara, when you go to the Jalia Mubarak, and you look up on the Ayah Mubaraka, that Ayah Mubaraka I read about keeping your voices lowered in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's written on the Rozai Mubarak right above it. And so when you go there, you know, you have people who are talking around the Jalia Mubarak. There are pious scholars who don't even talk loudly in Masjid Nabawi Sharif. They whisper wherever they are because you're in the court of the Blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are pious people who, when they, as soon as they enter Medina, they start to lower their voice. They start to even take care of exactly how they cough and sneeze. This is how pious they were. There was pious predecessors. There was walis of Allah Azza wa Jal who would not even relieve themselves in Madinatul Munawwara. They would go, wait and go outside the boundaries of Madinatul Munawwara just to relieve themselves. This is the how they taught us the etiquettes of this amazing court. Subhanallah. Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was the best of creation. And they'd seen many, many kings before. But when the people of Arabia saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had to confess that tuchize digri, this is not the court of a normal king. This is the court of our master, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And it is narrated that the companions, after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had gone from this world, the physical presence of Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no longer there, they would look at Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to resemble the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would give tranquility to their hearts. You know, and how did they speak? When they used to talk to in the court of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did they address the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal? Let me enlighten you, it's amazing. Before they actually spoke and said anything, you know what they used to say? They used to say, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you. Ya Rasulullah, this is what I want to talk about. May my soul and my life be sacrificed for you. Ya Rasulullah, this is what I need. And these were their kalams. You know, they wanted to, their most prized possession. You know, when your parents are your most beloved, your life and soul is most beloved. They would say before they spoke, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, we would sacrifice our life, soul, and our parents, and then talk about something, whatever they wanted. And this was how they spoke. This was honor and respect like the world had never seen. And if they had the honor and the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wow. You know, they would stay there until Allah Azza wa Jal would command them and say, look, my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shy to say to you that you've had your meal, now you can go home. If you sit there all night, he will never say to you, because he is so merciful and he will not embarrass you. So he will sit with you. But by staying there and just talking afterwards, you put my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through difficulty. Now he won't say anything, but I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth. Once you've had your meal, go home. So let him go back to his family and his other things. And subhanallah, can you imagine Allah is saying to the companions, don't just sit around and waste the time of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let him get on with his things. Subhanallah. And you know, when they saw something, these blessed companions, they would never question it. They would just start to do it. Today we have this disease where some, you know, the scholars tell us This is what Islam teaches. This is what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. This is the sunnah. And we start to ask, well, what's the logic in that? What's the reasoning behind that? Why do we have to do this? And, you know, what does science say about that? None of that should matter. Whether science agrees with it or not, what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is the right thing to do. Whether, you know, intellect or logic comes into it, forget that. If Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, that's what the companions did. And that's what we should do. In any situation, you should look to see what Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did in this situation, and that is what you need to do. Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's amazing quote was so magnificent. I'm just looking at the time, whether I've got enough time to take you through one more waqia before I go on. Let me tell you about the great Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One day he invites Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to his house. Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepts his invitation for a meal. Now, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leave, he starts to walk behind Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he's looking at the feet of Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he's counting. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned around and said, Usman, what are you doing? Why are you counting my footsteps? And he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is a great honor and a blessing that you are coming to my house. For every footstep that you take, I'm going to free a slave. And this is thanking Allah Azza wa Jal, that the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, the master of the universe, the best of creation, the Habib of Allah Azza wa Jal, is blessing my house. I'm going to free a slave for every step that you take, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And subhanAllah, Hazrat Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala freed a slave. And the Hadith Mubarak is beautiful. You know, before he said that, the words were, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I wish to free one slave for each step that you take out of reverence and out of honor and out of love, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And therefore, he freed all these slaves just on every footstep of the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. SubhanAllah. We've come to the end of our first segment. We're going to move to our second segment. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew.
SubhanAllah. So alhamdulillah, your Dawat Islami has a very special department. And that department has been the backbone of Dawat Islami. Why? Because a lot of brothers that I speak to, including myself, our first contact with Dawat Islami, our first reformation, if you say, you know, that helped us change and get out of this life of wrong and into a life where we were trying to better ourselves, came on a very special journey that we took. Now, in this journey, we spent a bit of time, and a lot of brothers have all over the world, and millions of people, I'd say, over the years, have taken advantage of this. That is the kafilas of Dawat Islami. Now, these kafilas, they travel all over the world. And what we do is that brothers get together for 3 days. They spend the night in the masjids. They pray their salah with jama'at. And they learn the sunnats of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They learn how to read namaz properly. And they teach others. Then they go into the local locality, the local area. They invite people to the masajid. And they help them by teaching them, you know, how to read the Quran better, how to come to classes, how to read namaz, etc. And this not only reforms the individuals, but it also changes the whole locality. I know many, many areas where if you speak to the regular namazi, the regular people who attend salah, they will tell you that it was a Madni Kafla of Dawat Islami that came into my area, knocked on my door and said, let's go to the masjid to read namaz. I started then, and years later, I'm still reading it. SubhanAllah. Then there was one amazing incident, one of my favorites. We were on a Madni Kafla, and there was a young man, a local lad, and he was a bit of a jack the lad. He thought he was it. He was 10 men in himself, and he was very kind of in his ways. So he comes to the Madni Kafila, and the first night you're there with the brothers. We used to, in the olden days, we used to cook the food at home and get roti, and we used to all sit down and eat. I'm not eating that. I want a burger.
So one of the Islamic brothers says, fine, no problem. So they send somebody out. And I'm thinking, why are they pampering you? I was quite new in the Madni kaflas at that time. So why are they pampering him? Just tell him eat or don't eat. No, they give him love and affection. When we started to do the halqas, we do the teaching classes. The brothers who started to do the teaching classes, they say to him, everybody sat on the floor in the masjid. I'm not sitting on the floor. I want to sit on a chair. Fine, no problem. They get him a chair. All weekend, they gave him love, affection, made him pray 5 namazan with jama'at, taught him how to pray properly, everything else. So gradually, you could see he was, you know, coming around and he was humbling himself a little bit. And on Saturday, he was a bit better. On Sunday, came Sunday evening, and the brothers in the afternoon started to clean the mosque and, you know, make sure it's left nice and tidy and everything else, and the hoovering up. And this brother sat there. And he's upset. He's kind of quiet. And my brother said to him, you know, what's up? He said, for the first time in my life, I have found peace and tranquility. So I'm not going anywhere. I said, what do you mean you're not going anywhere? He said, I'm staying here. He said, you can't stay here. You know, you have to go home now. It was 3 days of kafila. That's finished. Now you have to go home. You can come back on the next one. He says, no, for the first time in my life, I found peace and tranquility. He started to cry. This is the same gangster type person who'd come in, and by spending 3 days in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, praying his 15 salahs with jama'at, reciting the Quran every morning, getting up for tahajjud and praying his nawafil and reading the Quran and learning the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and bettering his salah in one weekend. It changed him. And he wasn't just one. He was one of thousands of people that the Madani kafilas of Dawat-e-Islami have changed. These kafilas are truly amazing. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In the UK, kafilas travel all over the UK on a monthly basis. And there are between 10, 15, 20, sometimes 30 Madani kafilas traveling over the UK. Then there are kafilas traveling to Europe, and then to Africa, America, Canada. I was on a Madani kafila to Canada last year as well. And then all over the world. And they're going to localities. There was a recent kafila. I think we've got a clip for you. We're going to share with you now, which shows you some recent international kafilas where brothers have gone to different countries to spread the word of deen. Let's watch that clip and we'll come back.
I will reach out to people all over the world to spread the sunnah.
Lillahi alhamd, me dunya se musalman gaya.
I will reach out to people all over the world to spread the sunnah.
My life can be sacrificed for my murshid's sake.
Subhanallah, that was a kafila in Croatia. Now, we assume, because we live in this country, we assume that there are masajid everywhere, there are people to teach and everything else. In a lot of the European countries and Eastern European countries, there is nobody to teach. Sometimes the Islamic Brothers of Dawat-e-Islami walk into these places and people don't even know how to pray salah properly. There was one country that they went into where they inquired, is there a local mosque? And somebody said, yes, there is. And he took them to the mosque and it had been locked. And they said, well, nobody ever used to come to pray. So we locked it up and it's just remained like that for years. So they opened the locks, they cleaned it out, they went into the local area, they invited people in, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen brought people back to the masjid and made it habitable again, and now it's thriving. This is what they do. In fact, there was one report, there was thousands of people have come into the fold of Islam because through the kafilas of Dawat-e-Islami and the invitation of the Islamic Brothers. This is what Madani kafila is all about. These kafilas, they change the person who travels on them
and those around them. And amazing, amazing benefits are gained by this. And this is how the work of Deen is spreading throughout the world. You can have a 3-day Madni Kafla. There are 12-day Madni Kafla's, 30-day Madni Kafla's. A lot of people, they travel in these kafilas and for 30 days as well. And then there are some brothers. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to do this, wow. I've met a number of brothers who go on a 12-month kafila. Can you imagine 12 months in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal? And all you're doing is going from one mosque, one masjid to the next one, teaching the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from one area to another area, one city to another city. And this is how these people spread the call to righteousness. Sometimes they travel long distances, sacrifice their time, their money, their efforts. But the beauty is that through their efforts, through their hard work, they are teaching the Quran. Let me leave you with this story. There was a scholar from UK, I think he was from Nottingham, and he traveled to Africa. And he says that he was in the jungles of Africa, and there were certain tribes and everything else. And he came across an area where people were Muslim, a full tribe. And somebody told him that there are people here who have reverted us to Islam and, alhamdulillah, are teaching us the Quran and how to live our life according to Islam and teaching us wuzu and salah and everything else. So this scholar was intrigued. So he said, I'm going to go and meet these people. And, you know, so he goes and he meets them. And he was mesmerized. He said that I was in the middle of Africa. These people are there. They are teaching the Quran. They are teaching wuzu and the basics of Islam to people who they don't even share a language with. And the efforts they were going to, who were they? They were Dawat Islami brothers in a kafila in that part of Africa. Subhanallah. This is why we say that you should travel on the kafilas of Dawat Islami, especially in this country. You know where a lot of parents say that we have problems with our youngsters. We have difficulties because we need to kind of teach them a lot, but we've not got the tools to do it and we don't have the time. Well, sacrifice. Take them on the Madni kafilas of Dawat Islami. The Islamic brothers in that kafila will teach them everything. You don't have to do anything. But make sure you're with them so that you can learn as well. Don't just send them because there are age limits as well. But the beauty of this is that I had a friend from Rochdale, and very early days, he used to work and he used to kind of have a normal kind of responsibility of households and mortgages and everything else. But once a month, he used to take his sons and he used to travel in the Madni Kafilas. And I've seen those children grow up. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, born and bred in this country, they're doing well. But mashallah, when you see the beautiful beards on their face, their humbleness, their sincerity, and when they stand to do bayans and to read natipaks in the Fazan Medinas of Dawat Islami, you think, wow, that father has given them a good upbringing. How? By making sure that every month they traveled in the Madni Kafilas. And what it does is, from the outside, there's a lot of wrong and social media and TV and all this coming in. So his way of battling that was Kafilas of Dawat Islami. And that's what I leave you with. Inshallah, we will see you. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew.